Go. Hello and welcome to another edition of the End Zone Podcast. My name is Eric Jensen, and today I'm joined by my good friend Christian Castain, who is joining me all the way from Georgia. So, Chris, the Pro Bowl rosters just came out.
That sure did.
We were kind of thinking about going through them and talking about some of the things we really liked, some of the things we didn't really like, and moving on from there. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. I was wondering where this was going. How are you?
Yeah, I have no idea where it's... I'm doing good. Well, let's just cover two quick news things. The Packers put Aaron Rodgers on IR today. So their playoff hopes are done. They officially got mathematically eliminated when the Falcons won last night, but the Falcons in no way convincingly defeated the Buccaneers. It was scary towards the end. So I'm still not super confident in the Falcons, but I think a team we have to start looking at here down the stretch is the Detroit Lions now that the Packers are out of it.
Yeah, well, at this point, I know this ain't what we're here to talk about today, but, I mean, it did happen yesterday. So, I think the Falcons, if they win one game, they're locked, but I think we can pretty much start saying that other teams are going to need a lot of help to get back into the race. And I'm talking about any team that was out, Detroit, Cowboys, etc. They're going to need a lot of help at this point, especially after the Atlanta win last night.
Not really, because if you think about it, Atlanta would just have to lose one more game and those teams would have to win out. And I think that Atlanta's going to lose at least one more game.
Right, which is reasonable to think. Well, it's still to me, I still consider that needing help. I mean, they're still going to need some help. They're going to have to hope Atlanta loses both of those games, because I think if Atlanta wins, they're locked to make it. According to what I've read earlier and what I've seen, they're a lock if they win next week or at Carolina, which would be a great game if they win next week.
Yeah, so that was part of the news. Zeke's back from his suspension officially. We'll talk more about that on the preview show. Not much more than that, so let's get right into it. We're going to start on the AFC Pro Bowl side of things and start with a wide receiver position where Antonio Brown, DeAndre Hopkins, AJ Green, and Keenan Allen all got in. We're going to kind of go through the positions, mainly the skill positions. We're not going to cover the offensive line a whole lot, but talk really about picks we really loved, players we have a problem with, and who we think should have gotten in over them. And I will start with who I love from this wide receiver class. I'm going to go DeAndre Hopkins, because DeAndre Hopkins, even though he hasn't had Deshaun Watson throwing him the football all year, even with Tom Savage and TJ Yates, he has consistently been able to make plays and put up good numbers this year. And I'm glad that he got the recognition he deserves, because in my opinion, he is a top 10 wide receiver, top 5 wide receiver even, I'd argue, in the league. I really enjoy what he's done this year at the wide receiver position. The player I don't agree with is AJ Green. Yes, I know he's kind of had a good year, but there are some plays where he's had some drops. He's ran some bad routes this year. I can think back to the Colts game where two of Andy Dalton's interceptions were really AJ Green's fault. And I really disagree with the fact that he's in. And I think the guy that I would have put in over him, even though the Broncos' offense has struggled, is Emmanuel Sanders. Emmanuel Sanders has played excellent football this year. He's put up great numbers for the quarterbacks that he's had to deal with. As far as that goes, he's had 555 yards and 2 touchdowns all year. Now, that's not a lot in the touchdown area, but he leads the team in receptions, and he's consistently Brock Osweiler and Trevor Siemian's favorite target. And I think he really got disrespected by getting left out of even Pro Bowl consideration.
Yeah, I'm not going to waste too much time basically saying what you just said on DeAndre Hopkins and Antonio Brown. Those picks are obvious in my opinion. They're clearly the favorites. They should have been 1-2. A.J. Green is where I disagree with as well. I'm fine with Green Allen. He should have been third. If you're going to put A.J. Green in, why is he third? And he should be, like, the backup's backup. Like, he hasn't... I don't even have to go into what you said. I can just base it off of stats themselves, because A.J. Green has only had 980 yards. There's other receivers. 8 touchdowns, I'll give you that, but I could take... I'd rather have Tyreek Hill than I would A.J. Green right now, because...
Well, that's a good pick, yeah.
Yeah, I would definitely... I mean, because... He's had 7 touchdowns, and we know this is half of this is based off the yards. I mean, it is. I'm just being honest. Team success in yards, 1,074 yards, 7 touchdowns, 69 receptions. I would rather take him than A.J. Green. And I don't disagree with your pick of Sanders, but I would take Tyreek Hill over both with the success, the more success of the team. That gives me the edge. Okay, moving on to running backs. Not a whole lot of disagreement for me. This is actually one of the better, the best, I guess, if you want to call it, in the AFC, the better, the choices that were made are the best, or out of the whole position group, this was the most thought out, how would I say it? Well, of course, we have Le'Veon Bell from Steelers as the starting running back. Then Kareem Hunt of the Chiefs. I definitely agree with that. And LeSean McCoy from the Bills. And I have absolutely no problems with
I actually do. I disagree with Kareem Hunt, because I know that he had a good year, but after about week 6, he kind of disappeared. And didn't really show back up until a week ago. He has not been consistent at all. And I would have put in Melvin Gordon. Melvin Gordon has been much more consistent, in my opinion. He has 931 yards this year and 7 touchdowns. That's incredibly impressive for a running back. I think he totally got snubbed. I think he is one of the top 4 running backs in the AFC. I think he should have been in over Kareem Hunt. I agree with the LeSean McCoy pick. I love that pick. Shady's been great all year long. He has to be one of my favorite running backs to watch in the AFC. I like watching him more than I like watching Lev Bell, to be honest with you. I know statistics-wise that Lev Bell's a better running back, but I would take McCoy over Bell any day. And I like this group, but I just can't I don't understand the Kareem Hunt pick. Like I he's been too inconsistent. Like he disappeared after a while.
Let me tell you, I'm just gonna be honest with what it is. This, like I said earlier, he had such a great first 5 games that people have forgotten. Like, and I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. I know I'm probably going against literally what I just said, kind of, or people will take it this way, but this is kind of, he's getting in because of his first 5 games. I really believe that. Maybe I don't agree with what you said about Le'Veon Bell. I believe he should be, if he's not the starting.
To preface this, I didn't know that was the order they were in at, and I don't really care about the order, to be honest with you. I just care about who makes it. So I'm not really going to argue about that, but I'm going to disagree with you. Right. I don't care if he had His first five games, 148 yards, 81 yards, 172, 101, 107. All right, that's fine. But for rest of the year, he has a 21-yard game against the Steelers. He has 18 touches and 87 yards against the Raiders. 22 touches and only 46 yards against the Broncos. 9 touches and 37 yards against the Cowboys. 18 touches and only 73 yards against the Giants defense. 17 yards against the Bills. 40 yards against the Jets. And then he comes back up the last 2 weeks. I'm sorry, but I just... For someone...
Melvin Gordon's only had two games over 100 yards this season.
But I'm telling...
He's had a lot of games under 50 yards.
But Melvin Gordon has been more consistent, in my opinion. He's, like...
Not his first five games. His first five games were really rough. And then you go back and you look at his game at Denver... He only rushed for, excuse me if I'm reading this correctly. Yes, I am. 38 yards on 18 attempts. That's not, I mean, I'm not arguing. Okay, so on Kareem Hunt, I'm not arguing with you that which one. I'm not arguing that either one. What I'm saying is that is why he's in over Melvin Gordon is because of his first five games so great. People aren't looking at the other games, in my opinion. That's just my opinion. I don't know if you would agree, but I think I would say that's
fine. Yeah, moving on to the next position group in this wild AFC, the quarterback position, which I don't have a problem with. I think all three are great picks. It's hard just because there were so many injuries this year at the quarterback position. But I think Tom Brady's obviously the best in the league. Ben Roethlisberger, we say a lot of good things about Antonio Brown, but Ben's throwing him the ball. And yes, Phillip Rivers had a rough start, but even when they were in that losing stretch, he only had one really bad game against the Chiefs where he threw three interceptions. And the rest of the year, he's played very, very well. So do you have a problem with Phillip Rivers? Where is your problem with the quarterbacks here?
It was Phillip Rivers. I'm sure you figured that. And it's not really. It's more of the year stat line itself. Alex Smith has five interceptions to 25 touchdowns on the attempts of. Excuse me, hold on 1 second. While I'm looking at this, I know Phillip Rivers had doubled the amount of interceptions as Alex Smith, and I know I'm kind of stumbling around over here, but that's because I'm trying to look at their stats. But here's my problem is Alex Smith had 30 less attempts, one more touchdown, and five less interceptions. On 30 less attempts. Phillip Rivers, of course, excuse me if I'm kind of breaking for a second. I'm making sure I'm getting these stats right. I don't want to get them inaccurate. 498 pass attempts to 310 completions, which that completion rate's about the same. He has six less completions, but I'm not worried about that. And, of course, my thing was is the touchdown to interceptions. 24 touchdowns to 10 interceptions. I just favor Alex Smith right now just based off the year alone and the fact that he had less attempts in the season with five less interceptions. He's not turning the ball over as much as Phillip Rivers has been. And the one touchdown doesn't really – factor into it because – it's quite meaningless, to be honest. One touchdown. But the interceptions is what gives me the nod.
The counter-argument to that is you said Phillip Rivers had 30 more attempts. If you throw the ball more, of course you're going to throw more interceptions. I'm sure if Alex Smith threw the ball 30 more times, he'd have at least two or three more interceptions. They're two totally different styles of quarterback. I can see your point, but I think a lot of this voting comes down to recency bias, to be honest with you. So,
I agree. Or if you had an epic beginning of the season, I think it comes down to that too. If you had a great first, or if you had a great first half of the season,
I
or if you had a
feel
great
like
stretch, I think they
Philip
favor
Rivers was
that
more
over
consistent.
anything else.
Alex Smith had those great weeks, and we thought he was a top 10 quarterback, and then he kind of fell back into what he's been his entire career. Whereas Philip Rivers, yes,
Sure.
he had some bad games earlier in the year, specifically against the Chargers, which is where three of those 10 interceptions came from, but throughout the rest of the year was pretty consistent. So I can see your gripe, but I can also see why though the committee chose the players that they did. Yeah.
Committee of fans. So our next position, of course, we're gonna move on down to
Oh, okay. Well, Chris,
put it in this chat.
Chris, this is
You didn't really tell me what, but
no,
hold
no.
on.
Keep it going.
Pa
Keep it
pause
going.
pause your recording.
Seriously, keep your recording going. So yeah,
My phone. Oh.
this is bad podcasting by us, but we should let's focus on defensive end.
Yes, it is.
I'll
I'm
do it.
waiting.
I guess I'll just work on all the transitions. Defensive end. I love the pick of Calais Campbell. I think he's the defensive player of the year. His stats have been fantastic all year long. Khalil Mack, I can see why they put him in there, but the Raiders' defense has been so bad, and I know that Mack has had a good year, but I would put in Melvin Ingram, the pass rusher beside to the side of Joey Bosa in San Diego. He's had 10 sacks this year. He's having a career year, and I don't really like the Khalil Mack pick, but the rest of it I pretty much agree with. Khalil Mack's also had 10 sacks, and I guess it's probably because he has more tackles, but tackles don't really matter that much to me. I feel like Melvin Ingram's had a better season than Khalil Mack has, so I'd put Ingram in over Mack.
Well, I actually have the same exact opinion. I debated it. I thought about it before, of course, before we did the podcast. I thought that he was on the outside looking in. I would put Ndamukong Suh in before I would put Clay Hill. Oh my goodness. But besides that, I don't have any
Yeah,
major
moving on.
disagreements on that
Right,
position.
moving on to our next position
In
in
the
the
AFC.
AFC, defensive tackle. I didn't really like the pick of Jarrell Casey from the Titans. The Titans' defense hasn't been that great all year, and Casey hasn't really been special. I would have put in DeMonta Pecco from the Broncos. He's had a really good year. He has. He really. A year ago, the Broncos couldn't stop the run, and they bought DeMonta Pecco in, and then they suddenly became the best run defense in the league. He has 36 tackles this year, 25 of them coming as tackles for loss. I just don't understand how he's not in. I can't really disagree with the Jarrell Casey pick because his stat line's good, but I'd rather see DeMonta Pecco in, partially because I'm a Broncos fan, and also because I think the Broncos defense has been better than the Titans.
That's not far from wrong either, which is pretty surprising to say. For For here, I mean, there's not too. I'm not going to say I don't have somebody put in there, so I'm not going to say I disagree. Like, I couldn't argue putting somebody else in there enough to where I would be like, oh, no, that's a disagreement. I'm not going to disagree with either of these picks, but Darrell Casey is kind of on the – I don't think he should be starting. I know we're not arguing that this, but I would not start him in this game. But I'm not going to say I totally wouldn't leave him out, basically because I don't have an argument for another player good enough to
– Yeah, moving on to the kicker.
If you understand what I mean.
We have Chris Boswell. For those of you who don't know, I kind of let this go, but I'm embracing it right here. I'm a big kicker guy. I believe in sleeper kickers, hashtag sleeper kickers. Chris Boswell, I get it, Steelers kicker. He's had a good year, but I mean, there are some fantastic names that they left out. Harrison Butker, the rookie kicker for the Chiefs, has been fantastic all year. He's only missed a few kicks. When it's really come down to it, he's made the crucial kicks. Adam Vinatieri is an ageless wonder and continues to do magnificent things. Just look at what he did in Buffalo a few weeks ago, hooking that extra point in to send it to overtime. Ryan Succop now has 54 kicks made in a row within 40 yards. That's incredibly impressive. And then you have Justin Tucker, one of the AFC's best kickers as well. So I really disagree with the kicker position as far as special teams go. I know that you're not a big kicker guy, Chris, but do you agree with the kicker?
I thought there were better picks that they could have gone with. Steven Kwiatkowski. There's other picks you could have gone with. I would say that Chris Boswell is a top five pick kicker in the AFC, but I wouldn't put him at number one, that's for sure. But, of course, this is with it being
moving
what it
on
is, I'm not
to
shocked.
The NFC, let's start at wide receiver. And the wide receiver picks from the NFC, Julio Jones for the Falcons, Adam Thielen for the Vikings, Michael Thomas for the Saints, and Larry Fitzgerald for the Cardinals. Julio Jones obviously deserves to be there, but I really love that Adam Thielen finally got some love. I've been saying this since about week 6. I think Adam Thielen's an all-pro receiver. I think he's one of the best wide receiver twos in the league. If you put a dream team together, I'd take him as my wide receiver two. And he's well-deserving of this. I don't like the Michael Thomas pick. I think that they really missed out on, namely, the Rams. The Rams don't have a single wide receiver candidate. Cooper Kupp has had a fantastic year, 804 yards, 4 touchdowns. And you can't forget Robert Woods, who has also had a fantastic year as well, even though he's not such a big name. And I really think name recognition is why these guys didn't get in, because both of them have had better years than Michael Thomas, I would say. Robert Woods has 5 touchdowns and 748 yards. I really disagree with the Michael Thomas pick, and if we're talking about where these guys are ranked, I put Larry Fitzgerald over Michael Thomas, because even with bad quarterbacks, Larry Fitzgerald is still having one of the greatest seasons of his career. Michael Thomas has more yards than Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods, but not by much, and he only has 5 touchdowns. So I go with either Cooper Kupp or Robert Woods in there, but I strongly disagree with the Michael Thomas pick.
I don't strongly disagree with – actually, I'm not – I wouldn't argue any of these. I think they're all – fairly decent picks. The order, maybe I don't agree with. I would agree with Larry Fitzgerald should be ahead of Michael Thomas, but Michael Thomas is getting a lot of credit for that Saints offense, and this is what this has proven to me. Of course, this is Drew Brees' to-go guy. I understand that. and I actually thought about what you were just saying, Cooper Kupp. I really thought about it, and I spent time, I was like, I just can't do it. I can't make an argument to put Cooper Kupp ahead of Mark Ingram based off of stats and everything. I agree, I was surprised that the Rams wide receiver did not make it, but if you actually look at the stats and stuff, it's not as surprising as
moving on to the running back position in the NFC. Todd Gurley, Alvin Kamara, and Mark Ingram. I can't really I love all these picks. I love Todd Gurley the most. And we didn't really talk about this. People are giving Todd Gurley MVP buzz. I don't think he deserves the MVP. But right now, Todd Gurley is my offensive player of the year. I think he's had a fantastic year. I don't think people can overlook what he's done. I know that Antonio Brown would be right up there too. But I think the injury hurts him, especially if he misses these last 2 weeks. So Todd Gurley would have to be my pick for offensive player of the year right now. And I really love the fact that he got in as a running back this year. But other than that, I have no disagreements with the running back.
I wasn't particularly thrilled was a little bit that surprising. They put two Saints running backs in there. The Alvin Kamara one is kind of...
Really? Alvin Kamara has had such a good year.
Anything. But...
His rushing...
If you look at his stats, they're not...
Receiving stats and his overall stats, he's one of the best offensive players in the league. I think that's why they have him in. And just watching him play.
Right, and I think that's fair, but it's just, to me, it was a little surprising that they put him in. Just based off of, normally, I don't think they would do that, but I can't, as much as I don't like it, I don't like two running backs, two of the same position in the same, in the team, or in the Pro Bowl, I can't disagree with it. Like, I can't argue it. But if I were going to put anybody in, it would be Devontae Freeman. But he missed those games, so I kind of take him out.
Disagreement here. Carson Wentz is in. Well-deserved. Russell Wilson is in. Well-deserved. I don't like the Drew Brees pick. That has been a run-first offense all year. And you know who I think should have been in is Jared Goff. How can you overlook what Jared Goff has done this year? He has put up an amazing stat line. I feel like the fans are totally disrespecting the Rams. Like, I don't know if you feel the same way, but what are your thoughts on the quarterbacks? But Jared Goff has 3,503 yards and 24 touchdowns to 7 interceptions. And Drew Brees, I'm pulling up his stats right now. He obviously doesn't have... Drew Brees has 3,850 yards, but he only has 21 touchdowns. Jared Goff and the Rams have the highest scoring offense in the league. I just don't understand how you can't put him in. I just don't understand why you wouldn't put him in as a Pro Bowl quarterback.
Yeah, and I was debating this with our good friend John earlier. I said I thought this was kind of odd because I thought Jared Goff should have been in as well. He disagreed with me, but I kind of took a different route. I didn't say it was Drew Brees. I thought, and the more I think about it, I would have probably put Jared Goff in over Drew Brees, but Russell Wilson, I debated on Jared Goff and Russell Wilson, which one should be in, but I did have Russell Wilson as an MVP candidate, so I kind of have to keep him in. I had to kind of keep him in, but Jared Goff definitely deserves to be, which he will probably be now that Carson Wentz is injured, but I definitely thought he should have been a Pro Bowl player. There's no doubt in my mind. But the stat thing, the stats are very similar. Of course, Drew Brees has completed or attempted 478 compared to Goff's 439. Very similar stat line as in touchdowns, 24-21 for Jared Goff. Interceptions very similar. So, in general, I wouldn't disagree with you. I think I would take Jared Goff. And the offense in L.A. had more success than the New Orleans Saints offense in general.
Moving on to the last position that I have a problem with, a defensive tackle in the NFC. Fletcher Cox, Aaron Donald, obviously in, but Gerald McCoy for the Buccaneers. I disagree with that pick, and I think that Michael Brockers of the Rams should be in. I think people really underrate Brockers. He's one of the best defensive tackles in the league. He gets overshadowed because he plays on the same team with Aaron Donald, but he is just as good. He's had 50 tackles this year. He's had 4.5 sacks. He's had combined 63 total tackles. So, I mean, I understand why they have Gerald McCoy in. He's had a good year. But I think I'd rather see Michael Brockers in. Especially, it comes down to, it's like the argument for Jarrell Casey in the AFC. The Bucs don't have a defense, really, and I just don't see how you can take someone from that defense and say, oh, they're Pro Bowl caliber. And the stats prove it, too. I mean, Michael Brockers has 10 more sacks than tackles in Gerald McCoy, and Gerald McCoy only has half a sack more than Brockers, so I really don't understand it, and I would not put Gerald McCoy in at the Pro Bowl.
I wouldn't either. I don't think he's had the best of seasons. Now, granted, he's had an okay season, but you have a lot of options other than that. But at the same time, at the same time, at this position, I honestly don't. I'm not gonna make an argument for another player at that position. So I'm. Aaron Donald, yeah. I agree with. Wouldn't you? We both agree with Fletcher Cox and Aaron Donald. I know we do. But yeah, I'll give you Gerald McCoy. I mean, he shouldn't have been picked as a
defensive tackle
right now.
For me, I know we've skipped some positions, but for me, that's it. So I'll just go through some of the positions we missed back in the AFC. Specifically, cornerback AJ Bouye of the Jaguars. I love that one. Jalen Ramsey of the Jaguars. Aqib Talib of the Broncos. Casey Hayward of the Chargers. I have no real disagreements there. Inside and middle linebackers, C.J. Mosley for the Ravens and Ryan Shazier for the Steelers. No disagreements there. Outside linebackers, Von Miller, Jadeveon Clowney, Terrell Suggs. I think all of those are excellent picks. Eric Weddle of the Ravens. And chime in if you disagree with any of the things I'm reading here, Chris. But then the positions we kind of skipped in the NFC, defensive end, Everson Griffin, DeMarcus Lawrence, Cameron Jordan. I agree with all those picks. I think all are great players. DeMarcus Lawrence is a defensive player of the year candidate. Outside linebacker.
Well, let me before we go through all this.
Well, we haven't gotten there. We haven't gotten there yet.
Do you really think Landon
No, NFC.
Oh, so you're just going
but we'll get to strong safety. Don't worry. Outside linebacker, Chandler Jones, Ryan Kerrigan, Anthony Barr. Can't disagree with any of those. Luke Kuechly absolutely deserves to be a Pro Bowler. So does Bobby Wagner. Two of the best middle linebackers in the game. I'd probably put them at 1 and 2, and I think you could flip them either way. Cornerback, Xavier Rhodes, shut down this year. Patrick Peterson, I kind of disagree with that one. Marshawn Lattimore of the Saints, that's a good one. And Darius Slay of the Lions, also good. Free safety, Earl Thomas. You agree with strong safety, Landon Collins. Landon Collins, yes, I know the Giants are bad, but the defense has been okay. And Collins makes spectacular tackles and plays on a week-to-week basis. That's why he's in. He's one of the best safeties in the league. I agree with that pick.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure you agree with it, because I was kind of tossing with it. I was like, is it or is it not? Yep.
The kicker here. Greg the Leg, man. He's been automatic this year. And with that, it pretty much, that's it.
What?
That's the Pro Bowl. So, thanks.
Yeah. There's your 2017-2018 Pro Bowl. Useless game.
And just keep in mind that half of these players probably won't even play in it. They'll probably opt out. I honestly don't know why they have the Pro Bowl anymore, but I guess it's fun to do the voting. Maybe they should just do the voting and not play the game anymore.
Well, yeah, I agree with you there, because a lot of it ends up being so many players that don't deserve to be in that end up being in. It's kind of useless. It's kind of pointless, but they like to do it. One day, I think they'll quit doing it, just like Thursday Night Football. Eventually, they'll stop that. Things will change, but it's not this year, so.
Yeah, I guess. They got to compete with the NBA All-Star somehow. Game. But that's because in the problem is in football. You can't have no defense, because then it just gets ridiculous. Like, the basic fundamentals of a game is hitting and physicality, and if you don't have that in a game, it becomes, you know, not great entertainment value. Whereas the NBA, you can light up on defense and you'll still get crazy dunks and weird shots and things like that.
Well, I'll be honest. Yeah, half the time, they don't play defense in the Pro Bowl anyway.
That's my
point. Half the time, it's a freaking joke.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Well, we will be back on Thursday to preview all of a week 16 games. Man, we are 2 weeks away from the playoffs. And hopefully our good friend John Butler will be joining us Thursday. But that's... He does like to sleep.
He might be sleeping.
So, John, have a good night's sleep. To our listeners,
sleeping.
Go ahead, hit that retweet button at Endzone Pod. We have a giveaway still going on. It's going on all the way to really the last Sunday of the regular season, the 31st. And then we will announce it on either our New Year's Day show or the Tuesday show we do. Undecided yet, but that week of New Year's, you'll know if you've won or not. There are 4 gift cards up for grabs. Go ahead, go retweet it, and just get yourself a chance to win. There's very few retweets right now, so if you retweet right now, you get a better chance to win a prize. But anyways,
yep, and be sure to keep on listening out. We have plenty of shows coming over the next throughout Christmas and New Year's Eve. I'm sure we'll be doing an episode on college football with the big bowl games coming up, stuff like that. Just be sure to keep out on our Twitter.
Subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, whatever you use to catch your podcasts. Anyways, we will see you on Thursday. Peace out.
Yep, Thursday.